be seated. Second case for oral argument this morning is Kelly Hepler and others appellants versus Thad Dury and others appellees. For the appellants, we have Ms. Ann Mines Bailey, an assistant attorney general, and Mr. Richard Neal, a special assistant attorney general. Ms. Bailey, I understand you'll be presenting this morning.
Yes, sir.
All right. And for the appellees, we have Mr. Ronald Parsons and Mr. Jack Heave. And Mr. Parsons, I understand you'll be presenting this morning.
Yes, sir.
All right. Very well. Ms. Bailey, you may proceed. You have 20 minutes. Do you want to take your water up there with you?
I did.
Oh, you got it? Okay, good.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. There are over 1,000 non-meandered bodies of water in the state of South Dakota overlying mostly private lands. In Parks versus Cooper in 2004, the South Dakota Supreme Court declared that such waters are public. They're held in trust by the state for the benefit of the public. Today, we ask this court to affirm the holding of Parks that such waters are retained by the state under the state's management and control for the benefit of all and not just the enjoyment of a few, and to further declare that the public trust doctrine includes a recreation component. In Parks versus Cooper, the circuit court issued an injunction regarding three non-meandered bodies of water on the notion that the water was private due to the private ownership of the land underlying that water. When this court ruled that the water was not a private asset, but indeed a public asset, the court concluded that it was best to leave the injunction in place in order to preserve the status quo and allow the parties a chance to return to the circuit court to determine whether or not there was an alternative ground upon which that injunction should lie. In 2014, plaintiffs commenced this action against the state regarding two more non-meandered bodies of water. To give the court an idea of the size of these waters, Jesse Slough or Jesse Lake is approximately 1,200 acres, and Dury Slough is approximately 1,500 acres. The goal of plaintiffs was to seek private control over these waters. Plaintiffs requested a declaratory ruling that this court required specific legislative action before non-meandered waters could be put to the beneficial use of recreation, and also requested the same injunction relief that was received in the Parks case. The circuit court granted these requests. Defendants appealed to this court seeking a review of the issuance of the declaratory ruling, a relief from the injunction that was imposed. And also, we ask you to review the certification of the class of defendants in this matter. Central, however, to these determinations is whether or not recreation is a component of the public trust doctrine. The circuit court erred, first of all, in finding that Parks v. Cooper requires specific legislative action. The sentence that the circuit court relied on and upon which plaintiffs rely is in paragraph 51. It's a sentence that reads, "Decisions on beneficial use belong ultimately to the legislature." I believe that the circuit court failed to read that sentence in context. If you go just a few sentences earlier, the court said, "To balance these multiple uses, the legislature and governor formulate policies in public interest to be carried out through a coordination of all state agencies and resources. Therefore, it is not for us now to proclaim the highest and best use of these public waters." Then, the court says, decisions on beneficial use belong ultimately to the legislature. The court stated a truism. At all times, any asset of the state of South Dakota can be altered in how it's used based on legislative action. There is nothing preventing the legislature from coming in and saying, no, we do not want these waters put to recreational use.
But you're asking
You've already asked us in your opening there that you want us to declare that they are open to recreation use. Isn't that committing the same fault that you're faulting the landowners for requesting relief without legislative action?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I believe that we're requesting the court to recognize the law and history of holdings that public use of public water includes recreation.
But we had that before us in parks, and we expressly declined to decide it.
I would disagree with that, Your Honor. If you look at the issues that were before the court in parks, as set forth in the park's opinion in paragraph 19, those issues were whether or not the public trust doctrine recognizes water as a unique resource held in trust by the public for the use by the public. The second issue was whether recreational use of water bodies controls public access. And the third was whether the federal navigability title test is applicable to this case.
Right, those were the issues, but later in the opinion...
It was definitely discussed, but it wasn't squarely before this court at that time.
Sounds like we were pretty clear.
I think you were very clear that the water is public and needs to be put to beneficial use.
No, I'm saying ultimately, the language ultimately up to the legislature. It doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room, does it?
I think it was a truism, Your Honor. I believe that the legislature is the ultimate decision maker for this. However, I believe the public trust doctrine, which is defined by this court and through the scope of its holdings throughout the years, tells us that recreation is a public use for public water.
All right, but is there a declaration somewhere? And I looked that in the hierarchy of uses on appropriation of water, saying that without a declaration from either the legislature or an administrative body, Board of Water and Natural Resources, which has jurisdiction over water usage, or possibly game, fish, and parks, does it list the hierarchy of uses, including recreation, anywhere? And I looked. I couldn't find it.
What we have is in statute, the legislature has denoted that domestic use is the highest priority of all of the uses here.
Correct.
We don't have anything that organizes the other appropriative uses or the other uses of the water that are available. We do know that the legislature has recognized recreation as a use. In fact, if you walked into the Water Rights Division today and asked for an application to apply for a water permit, you would be given a number of different uses that you could apply for, and one of them would be recreation. So it's not a stretch to say that recreation has been recognized by the legislature, and it's been recognized by this court almost since this court's inception. Back in 1915 in Flisrand, this court recognized that public use of public waters includes stuff, activities such as fishing, fowling, boating, bathing, cutting ice. The court in that case even noted that there were public purposes which cannot now be enumerated or even anticipated. And the finding in Flisrand has been continued throughout the years. It was reaffirmed in Anderson versus Ray and Sample v. Harder 1 year later in 1916. And in fact, in Anderson, the court specifically noted that public waters are, quote, of value to the public as mere places of recreation and ought to be preserved by the state for such purposes, if no other. Again, in 1937, in the case of Hillebrand versus Knapp, the court again recognized the purposes that were set forth in Flisrand. And then again in 1986, in South Dakota Wildlife Federation versus the Water Management Board, it was a review of a matter of determining the ordinary high water mark and whether or not the public trust actually should be considered when setting that.
But those cases you cite all predate parks, correct?
Yes, they do.
So our latest word on the subject is parks.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, these all predate parks.
But more importantly, as I read through those cases, I didn't see any that deal with non-meandered waters. And that's significant because if we're to hold that the public, those public statements about recreation applies to all non-meandered waters. We're talking about every slough and every pothole, you know, that might be in anybody's backyard anyplace.
Well, first, let me allay your fears a bit. What we're talking about is our waters that can be accessed legally. We are not talking about waters which can be reached only by trespass.
I'm talking about the law, the case law.
Yes.
I don't believe there's any case law that's spoken to this public question, recreation question, on non-meandered waters.
Not with specific regard to non-meandered waters in the state of South Dakota. In parks, however, this court aligned the state of South Dakota with a number of sister states. Those included Wyoming, Minnesota, North Dakota, Iowa, Montana, New Mexico, Oregon, Utah, and Idaho. Each of those states has determined that recreation is part of the public trust doctrine. So it's not an uncommon thing to think that recreation is part of the public trust doctrine. In fact, the United States Supreme Court, as early as the Shively case and the Illinois Central Railroad case, recognized recreation is part of the public trust doctrine.
You know, I get that you don't like the injunction. You don't like the class action. So what relief are you seeking from this court?
Well, first and foremost, we would ask that the court declare that recreation is a component of the public trust doctrine. In answering that question, it determines the answer to the injunction. And in the injunction, as I'm sure you well know from my brief, the asset, this public trust asset, was converted to a private asset. It went from being under the maintenance and control of the state of South Dakota to the control of a few private landowners. And that's a great deprivation to the people of the state of South Dakota. Water is a valuable resource. We need to be able to manage these waters.
So what you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, is that if you prevail in the manner you wish to, there would be no requirement or need to go to the legislature.
I think direction from the legislature would be desirable. I think it would be the way to appease both sides. Game Fish and Parks and the state defendants here are charged with an obligation to protect property rights, both in the land and in the water. And they've tried to do that by saying, if you can legally access this water via public right-of-way or landowner permission, you can use it for recreation. It would be lovely if we had something from the legislature giving a bit more direction, perhaps providing a bit more protection for the landowners to allay their concerns. But I don't believe it's necessary. I believe there is a broad legislative policy which has been enacted, which mandates that water must be put to beneficial use the fullest extent possible, and it must be maximized. And then I believe we also have authority properly delegated to DENR and to Game Fish and Parks. And those two things alone allow us to go in and manage these waters. The fact that the public trust doctrine recognizes recreation adds to the strength of the argument.
You mentioned that several states were aligned with South Dakota's reference to the parks decision.
Yes.
And that those states have included recreation as part of the public trust doctrine for the beneficial use of the waters. Did those states do so through judicial opinion and interpretation or through legislative directive?
They have been done mostly, as far as I can recall, through judicial interpretation. In fact, in the state of Utah, the legislature went in and tried to remove recreation from the public trust doctrine, and the courts have overruled that. That's currently being litigated in the Utah courts.
So in essence, are you asking us to reconsider our holding in parks?
Absolutely not. We embrace your holding in parks. This water is public. What we're asking for clarification on is the scope of the public trust doctrine.
And our last sentence of the opinion says that it's ultimately up to the legislature to decide how these waters are beneficially used in the public interest.
Yes, I believe if the legislature disagrees with how the public trust assets are being managed or utilized or to what beneficial use these waters are being put, they have the ultimate authority to tell us, no, you cannot put these waters to recreational use. I believe that sentence is accurate, but I do not believe it mandates specific legislative action. It is quite concerning to the state that the injunction entered into this matter allows a few private individuals to control the access and to a great extent decide what beneficial use these waters may be put. The injunction was imposed on a theory of trespass, and trespass simply is not occurring here. I know plaintiffs contend that every time somebody uses the water overlying their private property, a trespass is committed. But trespass requires contact with the land. We don't have that here. And I think what's very interesting to note is that never once in all the years since parks came down have plaintiffs ever filed an official complaint with Game, Fish, and Parks of trespass. Rather, these waters have just gone on being used. They may have, but the Game, Fish, and Parks is charged with managing the land and the water for recreation, for hunting and fishing. No complaint was ever filed with Game, Fish, and Parks. A number of conversations occurred, but no complaint was ever filed for trespass.
The state can't, the state doesn't own the land under the non-commander.
Correct.
They don't manage the land under.
No, here we manage the waters. Here we manage the waters. And I think that's a common mistake that's made probably amongst all of us, but particularly with plaintiffs' arguments. They argue that the rights that they have in the land as a private property owner, specifically the right to exclude, extends to the water. But we know from this court's holdings, in fact, that the rights of plaintiffs in this water are those rights that are shared in common with the public. So if I, a public member, go out on this water, I don't have the right to exclude anybody from it. Likewise, these private landowners don't have the right to exclude. And we also know from this court's holdings, in Anderson in particular, that a riparian owner's rights are subject to the general rights of the public. They're limited by the public. We are not in any way condoning a trespass here. We do not condone anybody entering onto their private land. However, if the water can be accessed, the holdings of this court indicate public uses for public water include recreation. We are charged with the management of these waters and putting these waters to maximum beneficial use, which of which recreation is one of those uses. And so we feel that it is only appropriate to allow the public to use these waters. Furthermore, the injunction under just the plain requirements of 21.814 and the other factors that this court has set forth to be considered when imposing an injunction, those factors have not been met. In fact, there is no question that the state is not responsible for the damage. State defendants are not properly charged with a trespass. We can't be held liable for the trespass of a private individual. We know that from Benson. Moreover, we didn't cause the water to come onto their land. We haven't acted in bad faith. And most importantly, one of the factors the court is to consider when imposing an injunction is the hardship. Is the hardship to the party being enjoined greater than the benefit received by the property owners here? And I would maintain that it is. As I said, water is one of the most valuable resources we have. There are many states that would love to have water problems like we have here. We are very blessed, very fortunate to have this water. And to take that water out of the control of the state, to take that away from the public and allow a few private individuals to manage those waters and control who gets to recreate on those waters does a great injustice to the public. And finally, as a third issue and one that has grave implications on the state, we would ask the court to rule that the class certification in this matter was improper. Rule 23A sets forth the requirements for class certification. We don't feel any of those requirements were met. Of greatest importance to me, and I believe of most interest to the court, would be the factor of adequate representation. Here, the circuit court chose to name as class representative the Secretary of Game, Fish, and Parks in his official capacity. Unfortunately, a class representative must share the same interests as the members of the class and must have the same defenses, typical defenses. Here, that's not the case. Secretary Hepler is charged with enforcing the laws. Private sportsmen do not necessarily share that interest. Secretary Hepler is in charge of enforcing conservation and making sure that these resources last for generations to come. While that may coincide with some private sportsmen's interests, they are not necessarily the same. But
I want to back up just a minute. You said that we should decertify based on 23A. But I noticed you didn't really talk about 23B in your brief. And so if we were to decertify the class,
I think if you find that public trust doctrine includes recreation and that the declaratory relief and injunctive relief issued in this case were improper, I don't believe it changes. I don't believe class certification requires remand of the matter. Yes, I believe... Yes, I do believe that the substantive issues can be decided. I see I'm out of time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bailey. Mr. Parsons, if you have 20 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court and counsel. In 2004, this court issues its decision in Parks versus Cooper, recognizing that all water is held in trust by the state for the public, that owners of private flooded land, such as the farms in this case, retain full title to those lands, and that South Dakota law has never authorized the public to enter private flooded lands for recreational purposes, such as hunting and fishing. That, this court held, was ultimately a matter for the legislature. The Games, Fish, and Parks Department did not like this court's ruling in Parks versus Cooper, in which all the arguments that it's making today were expressly rejected by this court. So what did it do? First, it went to the legislature, as this court directed it needed to do, and asked the legislature to change the law and pass legislation that did authorize the public to use private flooded farmland for public recreational purposes. And the legislature said no. So then it went to the Water Management Board, which this court recognized in Parks versus Cooper was the agency that had jurisdiction and regulatory control over the beneficial uses of water, including water on private flooded lands. It asked them to pass legislation or regulations that would authorize broadly the use of all private flooded land in the state of South Dakota for public recreational purposes. And the Water Management Board said no. So then what did the GFP do? It decided to engage in self-help. It decided to change the law on its own. And it instructed its conservation officers in an email that it sent out across the state that this court's decision in Parks and its reasoning only applies to the particular parcels of farmland that were involved in that case, and that any other private flooded farmland in the state of South Dakota, it was open season for hunting and fishing if you can somehow get on there through a drowned county road or somehow work your way on, then anywhere the water leads, including up to the porch of a farmhouse, you have authority to go. That's our unwritten policy. And you can see, you can read the unwritten policy that it would not commit to paper in the affidavit of Secretary Hepler that was filed in this case. And the GFP went outside the state and made presentations to fish and wildlife agencies, boasting, I would say, that aside from those three parcels and parks, we are going to continue to follow the pre-parks approach for the rest of the private farmland in South Dakota that may be temporarily covered with water or ice or snow for that matter. Essentially, they pretended that Parks was never decided, except for these three parcels of land in Day County, you know, up the way from my client's farms. It wasn't decided. This court's ruling doesn't matter. That's not how our constitutional order works. Under our constitutional order, unelected bureaucrats do not set broad policy and decide and make these weighing of decisions between private property rights and the public's right to use water.
Now, in your argument, you're talking about meandered, or the land under the meandered water, or the under the meandered lines. But isn't there a distinction between the water and the land?
There certainly is a distinction, and that's been made clear by this court in Parks, by the Desert Land Act, by the United States Congress. The rights to water and the rights to land are separate. Of course, when you're fishing and hunting, you're going to make contact with the land almost inevitably, and that's happened in this case.
I'm not going to take inevitably, but I'm dealing with the water.
Right. There is. But what the United States Supreme Court said in PPL Montana recently is that it is up to the state to define what the public use means. And what the state's position basically has been, well, public use can include hunting and fishing. So that means it does. That means it automatically does, and we've decided that that's what it means in the offices of the GFP. It's for the legislature. If they want to authorize hunting and fishing on private land, they could do that. This court recognized that in Parks, and we don't take issue with that. That's the settled law, but they haven't done so. That's not accurate, I would say, Your Honor.
That's what the Circuit Court ruled.
The Circuit Court ruled that that under current South Dakota law, as this court recognized in Parks, there is no authorization for the public to cross over and use that water for public recreational uses. That's the extent of the Circuit Court's holding, and that's what this court held in Parks. They have the right to enforce South Dakota law as it now stands, and South Dakota law as it now stands protects that water from being used for public recreational uses. There's no authorization. Not a superior right in the water, but they have the right to exclude people from their private property, and they have a right to the enforcement of the legislature's determination that there is no public right to recreate on that water right now.
The legislature hasn't made that determination. I mean, I think that's...
What the court said in Parks, I believe, respectfully, was that the legislature has never authorized it. The absence of authorization means there is no authorization. It's as Sherlock Holmes would say, it's the dog that didn't bark. The legislature has the right to determine the scope of the public use doctrine. What they've done is made very specific authorizations, as this court has said in Parks.
Well, what about the legislature or the statutes or the agencies? I think any of them could do so, but there is a declaration that domestic use is the highest priority.
That's right. No, absolutely not. No, domestic use is defined in the codes. No. Domestic use is consumptive use. And that's, I think, part of the problem with the state's argument here is that I don't believe it understood what this court said in Parks, was that the Water Management Board is who allocates the appropriation of water and the beneficial uses of water. The state is confusing public use, which the state can define the public use through its legislative acts and has done so in this state, and beneficial use. Beneficial uses are decided by the Water Management Board. And if you want to make beneficial use of a water, you need a permit under state law. The Water Management Board, I don't believe, could just say, okay, all water in South Dakota that's on non-meandered farms is open to the public.
Well, that's Water Management Board. They deal with appropriation for right. Water and natural resources. It deals with management of the water resources.
That's right. Of course, they've never made any such, passed any regulations on this regarding that at all, either. Now, I think, I personally have, I'm skeptical that the DENR could just say, all right, all water in on private land is open for recreation. They haven't done that, really, so it's moot in this case. They've never done so. There are no regulations, and all regulations have to be enacted with public notice and comment. That hasn't happened. I don't think they could do that under this court's separation of powers teachings. I mean, under the separation of powers, broad policy statements cannot be farmed out to agencies. There's no guidelines that would assist a court in making a broad sweeping, or that would assist the agency, the DENR, in making that determination. It's just, well, what do you want the policy to be? Do you want private farmland to be hunted and fished on if it's wet? If it's frozen, do you want people to live there all winter on their shanty ice, towns of ice villages? Is that okay under the law or is it not? To me, that's a legislative determination. And there's no standards as this court has given the DNR to make that determination. I don't think you can farm out the broad public policy in that way. But it's moot in this case because the agency that's given delegation over these waters, to the extent that it exists, is a DENR. And they haven't done it. In fact, they've rejected attempts by the GF&P to open this water for public recreational use. So what the GF&P has done, and if you look at the regulatory of the GF&P, it's set very clearly in SDCL 41218. They say they have the right to manage this water. Section 5, they have authority for the management, use, and improvement of all meandered lakes, sloughs, marshes, and streams. If it's meandered, that's where they have the authority. They don't have authority over waters on private flooded land where it's non-meandered, where the water's temporary. This was farmland for 100 years. My clients have owned this land, most of them, for 100 years and farmed it and pay taxes on it. That's not land, because it's wet, that is under the statutory authority of the Games, Fish, and Parks Department. And yet they're asserting that illegally. They can't do that. And that's what the injunction stated. That's all it says. Doesn't grant them control over the water other than the control they already have as an inherent attribute of their status as landowners. The state can still appropriate this water. We don't disagree with that. We would love it if the state would come take this water and ship it somewhere else. We'd probably help pay for that because we want to farm our land. But if the state wanted to, the state could issue appropriate this water, the Water Management Board, for domestic use, for whatever use it wanted to do. And they argued, well, they could appropriate it for also for recreation, but they haven't done that. They have to follow the law. The state is welcome to this water. Why do they have a superior right? Because they do have the right. I mean, if the public knew that the state was up here arguing that landowners don't have the inherent right to hunt and fish on their own property, on water that's on their own property, I think we'd have a revolution. Of course they have that right. It's one of the most inherent bundle of sticks in private property. The right to exclude, the right to quiet enjoyment of your land, the right to use your land for economically beneficial reasons, the right to hunt and fish on the water, on your own land. Those are inherent rights in the bundle of property rights. So they have the right to hunt and fish on their own land, and they have the right to grant permission to others. The right to invite is the contrapositive of the right to exclude. You have both rights. So they can grant permission to others to come onto their land and fish and use that water. But under South Dakota law as it now stands, none of the laws have changed since Parks, not a single law in a meaningful way. As this court recognized, it hasn't been authorized. You need legal authority to use that water.
But yeah, tell me if this is true. I mean, it seems to me that both sides inside case, the posture of this. You can't decide these two without ruling which of you two.
I don't think that's correct because the parties here, I mean, the GFMP doesn't have the right to manage these waters. We're asking you to affirm what this court said in Parks, which was South Dakota law does not authorize this. Yes. If it does. This exact issue was examined in Parks. You said no. You said you do not have the right to use this water. Yeah. Yeah.
We declined to decide it. We said there's no authority. Your claims superior.
Well, you said there's no authority, and you said, you know where you can go to get authority? You can go over to the legislature, and they'll give it to you. Or possibly you can go to the Water Management Board, and they'll give it to you. And they went, and the answer was no.
So why shouldn't we just signal?
Because Parks made clear that it's not authorized under the law. If it's not authorized, you can't do it. You can't.
But your clients don't have authority to control the water either.
They have the authority to hunt and fish on their own, on their water that's on their private land.
Yep.
Well, they're not asking for control. They're asking that the... Well, no. Injunction enforces the law. They're not asking for any favors. They're asking this court and ask the lower court to enforce the law that you that's never been authorized. You can't get on this land. I mean...
They aren't asking to get on the land. They're asking to get on the water.
Well... And you do touch the land too, but I know.
Not really.
Well, the evidence in the record is. Well, the evidence in the record is that you do touch the land when you're dragging boats across the fields that are now submerged and dragging lures across it.
Well, that's a different question.
Yeah, but the general point is that the state determines the scope of public use, and that's clear. The state does so through its legislative acts and through its statutes. And if the state hasn't said that public recreational use is part of that, and in fact what it said through the Water Management Board and through its statutes is that domestic use is the highest, most beneficial use, you need to defeat that. You need to go in and get a permit and demonstrate a higher beneficial use in order to defeat that. That's what this court said in Parks. They went there and tried to do that, and the Water Management Board said no. The status quo, and this court left in place the injunction to preserve the status quo. It left in force the injunction prohibiting the public in Parks from going on those three bodies of water because there was no legal authorization for anyone to do that. And it gave time for people to go to the legislature, and they did go to the legislature, and legislature said, no, you're not getting on this land, this water. It's the same order in Parks, essentially the same injunction that's still in place in Parks. I mean, Parks has been, quiet enjoyment of that land has been protected since Parks. You left in place the injunction in Parks. Yeah. And they tried to get legislative authority to change the law and open up this water, and everyone says no. Everyone except the GFMP and its conservation officers and its director, who said, our policy, we're not putting it down anywhere, it's not in writing, we've got discovery in this case, there are no public documents saying you can get it. It's all emails. It's all PowerPoint presentations. And they've admitted in the affidavit, here's our policy. Go ahead, get on everyone's farmland if it's wet. That's what we've decided, even though the legislature's never authorized it. That's not how this works. There has to be a status quo. And the status quo is it's not authorized. And that's what this court enforced in Parks. And that's all we're asking for in this court. Affirm Parks. For these owners too.
And maybe issue an injunction saying you cannot tell people.
That's part of it. That's part of the injunction.
Maybe that's
all. Well, I think that's a recipe for chaos. I mean, right now it's chaos. And it's chaos and confrontation. And people don't respect. People just drive their ATVs right across farmland. They block farmers' equipment. See the pictures in the record of trucks circling on these Drown County roads. Farmers can't drive their machinery by. And they say, well, we're out here because GF&P says we can. I called them and they said, go ahead. That's why we need the injunction. That's why the injunction is left in place in Parks, to prevent this chaos, unless and until the legislature decides to change its mind and change the law. That's where they should be. We're farmers just trying to farm our land in peace and quiet. And we didn't put the water there. The state didn't put the water there. But if they want to appropriate it, they're free to do so. It's public water. They haven't done that. There have been no regulations passed, no laws authorizing this. And just in terms of the class action, all the factors of 23A are met. And they could not have had better representation and a better representative than Secretary Hepler and his team, who have splendidly defended this litigation. We ask this court to affirm and leave this decision, if they want to change the law, to the South Dakota legislature.
Thank you. I feel the need to first perhaps correct the mischaracterization of plaintiffs and of how they've characterized GF&P and GF&P's view of Parks. In fact, Parks adopted the very stance that Game Fish and Parks proposed, which was the public is entitled to use this water. This is public water. So I'm not sure what portion of Parks they think we don't like. We agree with the holding in Parks. This is water held in trust for the public to be put to beneficial use. And yes, we continue to work with the legislature because we struggle with the same concerns that Justice Zinter has been expressing today. How do you balance landowner rights with the rights of the public in a public asset? It is a constant tension, and the most logical solution that Game Fish and Parks has been able to come up with is if the water can be legally accessed through no trespass on plaintiff's private land, then the water can be used. I also want to correct one other, I think, misconception that's going on here. Domestic use is consumptive. A recreation use is not consumptive. They're not mutually exclusive. The two can coexist. There's nothing that can ever defeat a domestic purpose, a domestic use of water. Even if you get an irrigation permit, you have to control your withdrawals to protect the domestic uses. But what we're talking about here is a body of water that is clearly an asset held in trust for the public by the state. That was what this court held in Parks. We ask you to reaffirm that holding. Moreover, I think there is a problem with the injunction in Parks. That injunction has not been resolved yet. It's not in the record as to why that injunction hasn't been resolved. But the fact remains that this court held that the water is a trust, is an asset in trust held by the state to be managed and controlled by the state. And how can we do that when one of the beneficial purposes to which we can put water is taken away from us? because access is controlled by a group of private individuals.
So if I hear you saying parks are always confined to bodies of water that are specific?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That injunction involved only those three non-meandered bodies of water. It was not applicable statewide. In fact, this court found that it was improper and allowed the parties an opportunity to go back to the circuit court. But the law, yes. Absolutely. The fact that the water is public applies statewide. Those injunctions apply only to those three non-meandered bodies of water. Likewise here, what we're asking is for the court to just further clarify parks. In parks, you said the water is public. It's held in trust. It's public. You said the legislature is the ultimate decision maker. They get to decide what beneficial uses this water can be put. The legislature hasn't directly addressed this issue. We have gone back and participated in legislative attempts to clarify to what beneficial use these waters may be put. But as the court noted in Parks in paragraph 51, it's up to the legislature and the governor to formulate the policies and implement those policies. And that's what's happening here. Plaintiffs don't like how we're implementing the broad legislative policy that's been enacted. We understand that. Unlike the private sportsmen, unlike the private landowners, Game Fish and Parks and the state defendants have to balance the rights of the property owners and the rights of the public in the water. And there is a constant tension.
Is there a difference? It is a hard question. The argument in Parks was that the water was private. The injunction was put into place. In Parks, we sent it back and said, no, the water is private, the water is public, and we sent it back for reconsideration of the injunction. Isn't that the status?
Yes, it is the status.
So the argument that Mr. Parsons made that it's exactly the same on these two injunctions, it's not really the same, is it?
I have argued several times that how can you ask for injunctive relief, which was already ruled to be improper? They are the same in that they are non-meandered bodies of water, of which private ownership of the lands underneath, it's mostly private underneath. They are 2 miles apart. So in some aspects, it is similar. However, the issue here is we already know the water's public. We already know that that it's held in trust and that the state is charged with the obligation to manage and control these waters for the benefit of everyone. We didn't have that situation in parks. So it is slightly different. It's nuanced somewhat. I believe the court has already made that determination and that the court did so in Anderson versus Ray, in which the court held that that the title, that riparian owners' rights in private land are subject to and limited by the right of the public in the water. It was a meandered water, but whether it was meandered or not meandered was not determinative in that case. In fact, in all of the cases that we rely on where there is a recognition of public use and a definition of what those public uses for public water are, they are all meandered waters. That's Flissrand, Anderson, Sample, Hillebrand. However, in none of those cases was the fact that the water was meandered or navigable a determinative factor in deciding what the rights were for the owners with regard to the water. I just want to conclude by saying that, you know, the state defendants are very mindful of the rights of the property owners and empathize with their concerns. State defendants do not condone trespass. We have not tried to exercise outside of the law. We believe that we were charged by this court with an obligation to manage this asset for the public as a whole. The legislature has mandated that the water be put to maximum beneficial use, not just that we oversee it, but that we put it to beneficial use. We have acted within the scope of our authority, and use of these waters for recreation does not constitute the trespass of private land. Rather, allowing them to be used for recreation, if they can be legally accessed, fulfills the mandate of the legislature, and while respecting the private property rights, and also while acting in accordance with this court's holdings. For these reasons and for the reasons set forth in our briefs, we ask the court to declare that recreation is a component of the public trust doctrine, to reverse the holding of the circuit court and lift the injunction, and to declare the certification of the class of defendants improper. Thank you.
In your conclusion, you asked us to say that recreation is an official use, but part of the plan, the last watershed, and resources act that defines beneficial use of recreation is not defined as one of the beneficial uses.
I honestly couldn't tell you off the top of my head if it is or is not in that act. I do know the legislature has recognized recreation in other areas of the law, for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.